This is Zone About Town on 104.5 The Zone. Good morning and thanks for being with us. Are you still best friends with the folks you went to high school with? Well, for some Nashvillians, those connections have been life-changing. We spoke with Robert Smith and James Brown, both performers with the Princely Players. The group started in 1968 at a segregated high school in Nashville and is still touring, recording, and performing to this day. In honor of Black History Month, the Princely Players will be performing at Cheekwood next Saturday, and we spoke with Robert and James about their incredible journey living out the civil rights movement. Here's Barbara Dapp.
Welcome, everybody, and good morning. I have got such a treat for you today. I've got a couple of new friends in the studio with me. James Brown, no, not the James Brown, the other the James Brown, and Robert Smith, who are members of an unbelievable group. I don't even know how to characterize them. They're called the Princely Players. They are singers and performers, do all kinds of unbelievable performance work, and they're going to talk a little bit about their group. They're performing at Cheekwood in honor of Black History Month coming up on Saturday the 26th. And we're going to hear a little bit more about it. But welcome, guys. I'm so glad we were able to make this happen today.
Right. We're very glad to be here.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning. We fought through some snow and bad weather and had to reschedule a few times, but here we are. So tell us a little bit. Robert, I guess you can start off since I'm told you're the spokesperson, although I don't know, James is pretty chatty himself. But tell me a little bit about the Princely Players. You guys are native Nashvillians, and it's a group of you that have been together since your teenage years.
That's correct. We were founded at Cameron High School, which is in South Nashville on Murfreesboro Road. We were founded by Mr. H. German Wilson. Mr. Wilson was a English dance art music instructor at Cameron High School. We called him a Renaissance man.
Yeah.
He was also an artist. And the group traces the history of African Americans through drama and song. We were founded, it started out as a play. The play was called A Witness for the Prosecution.
Mm-hmm.
It was a British play, which involved a murder and a court trial. And it was British. And we were British citizens and portrayed that in high school.
Wow. That must have been something to see.
It really was, since we were a segregated school.
Yeah.
All Black kids. And so we played those various roles with our British accents, et cetera.
And wigs and everything in court.
Wigs and everything. Yeah. But from that summer, during the War on Poverty program under Lyndon Johnson, there was a summer program at Edge Hill United Methodist Church that German was working with. And as a consequence, we began to perform as the Princely Players from that setting, and that carried on throughout the remainder of our high school. In our senior year, we toured a lot of the country, performing at Yale University and other venues throughout not only Nashville, but throughout the country. And then, of course, we graduated, and we graduated in 68, pursued our professional careers, and then we reunited in 1978 for our class reunion.
Wow. And, you know, I have to backtrack a little because you mentioned that you had performed at Yale University. What was that like for, you know, a group of Black students from a segregated school in the South to really go perform at this Ivy League school and tell your story? What was that all about for you guys?
Well, for many of us, it's the first time we'd been out of the state. So that was quite something.
Yeah.
And then ironically, it was we left for that tour and Dr. King was killed right as we left for that tour.
Wow.
So the greatest images that I remember from that tour, because we went to Philadelphia and New York as well, we entered Philadelphia and it was in flames.
Mm.
We entered Washington and it was a similar consequence. When we got to New York, there were police lined up and down the streets of Harlem. So, and of course, by flying, we got to see a lot of this.
Sure, sure.
So it left a lasting impression, but the performance and the exposure was great. And James, you might want to speak to that as well.
Well, I just want to add a little bit to it. Just imagine, if you will, flying over a large eastern city and watching smoke rise from it. It was very dramatic. Of course, it was the first time we had ever witnessed anything
mm-hmm.
like it. We had been hearing about the various riots going on around the country because of Dr. King's assassination.
Sure.
But it really didn't grasp us or reveal itself to us till we saw the smoke.
Wow. Yeah, it actually gives me chills when you tell about it. Of course, as we had been speaking about earlier before this interview, both of you and your group and your families really lived the civil rights movement, lived it out yourselves, going to segregated schools and living in a segregated society during your childhood and watching the evolution of it, which inspired you to do the work that you do with the Princely Players. So, James, tell me a little bit about the performance that you're going to be doing at Chiquit. It really is about the life of and the art of somebody that's really unique that a lot of us don't know about.
Yes. Mr. Edmondson was a very unassuming man. Chances are, if it wasn't for his carvings, you never would have heard of him at all.
That's William Edmondson, right?
William Edmondson, yeah. Yes. You never would have heard of him at all. He says that God told him to carve these things because Mr. Edmondson had no way of ever learning about them himself because he could not read. Mm. He could not write. He never actually traveled more than 15, 20 miles away from the city of Nashville during his lifetime. But his works live on now after him and will continue to. And we hope that the people in Nashville will come and experience some of the art and the life of Mr. Edmondson.
I'm speaking with James Brown and Robert Smith. They're with the Princely Players, a group here in Nashville that really tours the country performing spirituals and telling stories and poetry and all kinds of stuff about African-American experience here in the United States and the history from even before that. And Robert, tell me a little bit about where you think we are these days. You guys have so much, so many stories. I know you were sharing with me earlier about your experiences going to high school at a segregated school and having to walk and watching the white kids on the bus get the bus. How do you, have we really moved that far past that? Has there been a lot of progress?
Yes, it really has. And it's very interesting. These are events that are seared in our memories. But often when I talk to my daughters, one is 18 and one is 23, they can't relate to that, and that's not their world. That's not their world, and yeah. I'm very happy about that.
Well, I was going to say that really tells the tale of the progress mm-hmm. that's been made.
Yeah, their society is one that is diverse, and that was always the goal of all of the African Americans who were fighting for true citizenship, first class citizenship in this country. The goal was to be viewed as an American and not a second class citizen. Those memories, such as which every African American who lived during this time period, was that of the buses. You would have to, at least we would get on and put the money in on the front, get off and get in the back, go to the back and get
sure.
on. Those sort of things. The books that we use at school would be books from Overton High School, Hillsborough High School, as well as the desk. Once the white kids had used them and marked them up or scratched them up, then they would ship to the African American schools to be used. So all of those sort of things were not good.
Yeah.
Also, you saw how you would always see how your parents would be constantly struggling to survive in a community where they had contributed. My father was in World War II, returned here, as well as many other African Americans, with the aspirations and hopes that one day their children would be able to experience the fruits of liberty that this country afforded. Even in slavery, as we speak to it in our play, the notion was that one day we would be free and that we would be recognized as citizens in this country. So you can imagine the exultation when Barack Obama was elected president.
Sure.
It confirmed that the dreams and hopes and aspirations all the way back through slavery came to fruition. And so America is a better place, and we're delighted to tell the story of our history so it won't repeat itself.
Right, right. And, you know, of course, as you talked about your parents, you know, I think all parents want their children to have a better life than they did. And it sounds like, at least for your little group of princely players, you've all done really, really well. Robert, you're an attorney, and James is happily retired, which is something we all aspire to be at some point. But you mentioned, you know, you've all had careers and families and have really done better in a lot of ways, had more opportunity than your parents. And I think that's really the goal when you feel free, is when you have a level playing field.
That's correct.
And we all make different choices. Some choose to go to college and some don't. But if you have the choice and you have the opportunity, then you really have the freedom that you crave.
Yeah, and that's true. And for our benefit, it was the Civil Rights Movement. Once the Civil Rights Movement came into being and began to break down those barriers, then there became opportunities. So what we have experienced, we are the beneficiaries of the movement. And that's why we are obligated to continue to not only preach the message, but also there's a motto of, I think it's the National Association of Negro Women, which is lift as you climb. And that's part of what we do, not only by virtue of what we do in the performance, but in our individual lives, we lift as we climb. That means you reach back and help others to also make this transition into this, the benefits of our nation.
Absolutely. Well, with that, there's nothing. I've got chills up and down my spine from this whole interview because it's just been so inspiring to talk to you guys. I've been speaking with Robert Smith and James Brown, members of the Princely Players, and I really encourage everybody, go out and listen to them Saturday, February 26th at Cheekwood. You can get information from the Cheekwood website at cheekwood.org or theprincelyplayers.com and find out more about what's going on over there. They're going to be portraying the life of William Edmondson, who's an artist, and they're going to have some of his carvings there, as well as you can learn about his life through the performance of the Princely Players. And go check it out. It's really moving. It's really interesting. And these guys are a living history. So young as they are, they have a story to tell. And I really, really encourage everyone. And thank you so much, you guys, for coming on out. It's really been such a joy for me to meet you both and hear your stories. And I could talk to you for hours, but sadly, we don't have hours right now. But thank you so, so much for sharing your story with us. I look forward to hearing you guys perform.
Thank you
for having us.
Zone About Town is a public affairs presentation of 104.5 The Zone. As always, your input, comments, and topic suggestions are welcome. Go to 104.5thezone.com and tell us about the issue you'd like to hear about on Zone About Town from 104.5 The Zone.
Sisters, you ought to have been there.
Yes, my Lord.
A-sitting in the kingdom
to hear Jordan roll.
Roll, Jordan,
roll. Roll, roll, Jordan, roll. I want to go to heaven when I die to hear Jordan. Old sinners, you ought to have been there.
Yes, my Lord.
A-sitting in the kingdom
to hear Jordan roll.
Roll, Jordan,
roll. Roll, roll, Jordan, roll. I want to go to heaven when I die to hear